Here we go. I think we're going to get started. If everybody's ready, call the meeting to order. January 18th, 2022, Budget and Finance Commission meeting is now called to order at 4 o'clock. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. Ms. Cote, may I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Beasley.
Here.
Commissioner Mason.
Here.
Vice Chair Salverson.
Here.
Chair Latchford. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we will do the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'll lead the group, if everybody would stand. Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda, we have call to audience, but I was informed that we don't have any call to audience requests. Is that true?
That is correct. There are no speakers.
No speakers. Then we will move on to the next agenda item, which is review and approval of the minutes. Or I guess I'm supposed to ask Allison to read the agenda item.
Actually, Vice Chair, it's going to be the staff liaison report.
Okay.
Greetings, commission members. With this new year, we have a change in some of the liaison assignments, and I will be the new liaison to the Budget and Finance Commission. I want to wish you a happy new year, and on behalf of the council, express our appreciation for your fine service on this commission. We've appreciated greatly your assistance with a variety of matters, financial policies, the police pension, and reviewing the budget and financial reports, so we're very appreciative. In terms of, we have a council meeting tomorrow evening. Similar to your agenda, we'll have a presentation on the financial update through November, and also the audit report through the fiscal year ending June 30th. In addition to that, we have a study session that will be focusing on the marketplace. And with that, I look forward to being a part of your meetings in this coming year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
I'm sorry, just for the record, that right there was the council liaison. Our staff liaison is Mr. Gephardt, who, if you would like to proceed, please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Allison, and thank you, commissioners. Just a couple comments this evening. First off, welcome back, and I hope that you all enjoyed your break and had a safe and fun holiday season. Submitted to you during your break, we received some returns or some information regarding our ASRS and PSPRS pension plans. Actual returns have been publicized for both the ASRS and PSPRS plans for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2021. The ASRS yielded 25.1% on their plan, while PSPRS yielded 27.8%. Further, ASRS has taken this opportunity with these returns to reduce its discount rate from 7.5% to 7% moving forward. I hope to bring a more complete report to the next BFC meeting as we begin to discuss updates to our PSPRS pension funding policy. Secondly, we are fully engaged in budget season. Town staff is in the process of updating our 10-year CIP. And this Monday, departments will be able to enter their budget requests in our financial software. So as you're well aware, you'll be involved in the budget process again this year. So I just kind of want to bring an update on where the town stands with regard to that for next fiscal year's budget. And then thirdly, January is always a busy time for our staff in finance as we process 1099s and W-2s this month. So there's always a lot of stuff going on, so January, once the holiday season gets over, we just kick into to kind of calendar year-end mode, where we've got some of those reporting issues that we need to deal with, and then also budget season as well. And so we are very busy and looking forward to a very productive rest of this fiscal year. And with that, that concludes my staff liaison comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gephardt. We've got a question.
Dave, just for general information, the 25% to 27% range is pretty typical of what public funds have done in this last year. And I think for us that's important because I know there's been some changes in how the assets are being managed. And so that's starting to reflect well for us, because in the past, I think these funds have really lagged.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the commission? Actually, I had one question. I didn't know if there's any progress made on filling the open position on the commission.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. We have received an application. I have not had a chance to review that application. That was received late this afternoon. So we're still hopeful that we can that we'll get the right candidate in that can serve on the commission for the next 4 years.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to review and approval of the November 15th, 2021 regular session minutes. We did not have a meeting in December, so our last meeting was in November. Are there any questions from the commission about these meeting minutes?
I move approval.
Second.
We, Jim approved and Mike Mason seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The minutes have been approved. And now I believe we are going to go to item number 3. So if Ms. Koch could read in the next item for discussion.
Agenda item 2, presentation and discussion of the town's annual comprehensive financial report and single audit for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2021.
Okay. Welcome. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Vice Chair and Commissioners. My name is Brian Hemmerly. I am the lead audit partner for the town's audit this past fiscal year, June 30, 2021. I'm with Henry & Horn. We're a local audit firm out of the Tempe area. We also have offices in Scottsdale and Casa Grande, but we've been in Arizona for over 50 years. A new face for you, a new firm this year. This is our first year with the town for the three to five year contract. I have the slides before you, and I will walk through those briefly and take any questions as we go, or if you want to hold your questions to the end, that'll work as well. Well, it was working.
Implementing your backup plan. Mr. Hemmerly, give him a turn to call.
Nope, they have
them. Oh, there we are. Great. I guess so, huh? Okay, thank you very much. Well, we reported on three things this year. We issued three reports. The first is the financial statement audit report. This is to make sure the town's financial statements are reasonably stated within a material amount. We do provide reasonable assurance on our audit opinion. Our audit opinion this year was a clean opinion, an unmodified opinion. There were no disclaimers to report. We also, and I'll talk about this in just a moment, had nothing in addition to report within the audit as far as emphasis of matter paragraphs or anything of that nature. Reasonable assurance is the difference between absolute assurance in that we don't test every transaction at the town. We use materiality, we use statistical sampling, and we do test controls and walk through and observe your control structure. The second report we issue is what we call the Yellow Book Report. This is a report on compliance over grants, contracts, laws, regulations, and debt covenants. This also received an unmodified opinion. We had no findings related to your GAGAS report, Yellow Book Report. In our engagement letter on May 3rd, we stated what our objective of the audit was. Again, the reasonable assurance I mentioned, that we go through internal controls and test transactions based on materiality and statistical sampling. Some significant accounting policies that I'm required to communicate to governance. We had no difficulties encountered during the audit, no disagreements with management. Any uncorrected misstatements that we had discovered during the audit were corrected by management. And that we're not aware of any audit shopping, and that you did receive a clean opinion, so there really would be no reason for an audit shop. Your annual expenditure limitation report, as required by state statute, was issued on time. The Economic Estimates Commission expenditure limitation this year was $105 million. The expenditures subject to that limitation were $88.8 million. The amount under, in which you guys came under the limitation, was about $16.5 million. So you are under your expenditure limitation. That was filed with the Auditor General's office in a timely manner. The third report here is a single audit report. This is related to federal funding. Last year, I don't believe you had one of these. This year, you did. The reason for that is because you spent over $750,000 in federal grant money. The major programs that were tested during this single audit for the federal government were your CARES Act monies and a portion of your American Rescue Plan Act monies, ARPA, what we call ARPA, which was, I believe it was passed by Congress in March 2021. The reason I say a portion is because at the time of issuing the audit, the Treasury of the United States had only limited guidance on what could be recognized as revenue and what could be recorded on your CFA, your schedule of expenditures for the year. So we allowed the town, and the town agreed, to recognize the portion that was calculated as lost revenue at June 30, 2021. Subsequent to that point, the Treasury has put out a new final rule that now says you can recognize up to $10 million of lost revenue regardless of your calculation. So I imagine the town will do that in the 2022 fiscal year. But for the 2021 year, we did issue an unmodified opinion on both those grants. No findings to report for either one, the CARES Act or the portion of the American Rescue Plan that was recognized as of June 30, 2021. During the audit, it was found, mostly actually by management of the town, not so much by the auditors, that there was a addition to the town's capital assets, a road, and I believe a bridge, that was donated from ADOT. It was contributed from Arizona Department of Transportation. This happened some time back. The value of that asset was hard to determine at the time, and it was not properly recorded during that year that it was placed on the CAFR. This year, we were able to adjust the value of that asset. The effects of that is to increase the debit to capital assets and a credit to your equity of sorts, net position. So we had to hit the beginning net position, which caused a prior period adjustment. Because of the prior period adjustment, we did have to issue a finding, 2021-001, to the audit report that was submitted along with the single audit and to the town. The recommendation, essentially, and town management agreed that all assets being contributed and accepted by the town council are reviewed and reconciled by the finance department to ensure that they are accurately captured in the town capital asset schedule and reports. This is a very challenging control to have because it's not totally easy to always know what the contributed value of an asset is, especially a giant thing like a road or a bridge. But when council approves that asset for contribution, it should be recorded at that time for the value that it's put in service. We have some real high-level financial information here that we want to run through real quickly. The dark blue is last year. The light blue is this year. Your assets show an increase. Liabilities, a small increase. The net position is also up. Revenues and expenses had an equally good year, but your margins did get better for total government-wide financial statements this year. Fund balance, specifically just your governmental fund balance. The light blue is the general fund, and the dark blue is all other funds. And you'll see here over the last 3 years that you have a nice increase in 2021. Portion, of course, of that is going to be federal money from those grants. The enterprise funds, the water fund is really your major enterprise fund. The non-major enterprise fund, there isn't a whole lot of activity there, but over the last 3 years, there is a nice increase in that water fund's fund balance equity in the water fund. And that is my brief presentation. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions from the commission?
Yes, sir.
How long is your contract?
I believe it's a 3-year with the right to extend for 2 more years, up to 5 total.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just one. Were there any recommendations for improving presentations or anything that are kind of very lower level that you guys had that you might want to recommend to the city?
As far as financial presentations to council?
Yes. Well, just to the finance office, the CFO.
Nothing that came across our desk that we'd noticed when we were during the audit, as far as walking through your controls and really the control structure of the town was really quite good from what we see at other cities and towns across the state of Arizona. So I don't remember ever thinking that there was a lack of reporting in any way.
I was just, you know, sometimes as you go through the audit, you might have some recommendations to improve this or do that.
Sure.
It's kind of low level, but you kind of bring them up just for the sake of maybe they want to think about doing it or something.
I don't remember. We did come out here for field work for a whole week, brought a very big team, and I was with them the whole week. I don't remember ever feeling as though during the week of field work that anything came up that was a verbal recommendation. What tends to be the part of city finance and town finance that gets kind of pushed to the end is the capital asset reconciliation, where you reconcile your capital expenditures to your additions for the year. That's the case at almost every city in town. I don't think there was any exception to that this year. I think that was kind of probably the last thing we received, but this assets were correct when we did receive them, and we did test the additions and depreciation, and there were no issues. Yeah.
No other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Road. Is this the CAFR discussion also? Yes? Okay.
Dave, do you have anything else on the CAFR that you wanted to talk about?
We had a question from the commission. Was there anything else on the CAFR besides that PowerPoint presentation? Because we were given about a 150-page document. I didn't know if that was supposed to be included in that presentation or not.
Sorry about that, commissioners. We're just trying to get the next presentation spooled up for you. Can you repeat that question, Ms. Chairperson?
We had received a large package for the CAFR, and the question was whether this presentation was supposed to be covering the CAFR or if there was going to be a separate presentation.
So this was kind of the singular presentation to cover the CAFR, the audit process, and anything in relation to
the document that you received. If you have any questions with regard to the ACFR, the new designation is called the ACFR this year, I can certainly address those this evening if you wish.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on the ACFR from the commission?
Just a couple, just minor things. I noticed your contingency amount went down, and I assume that's just because of your calculation of 25% of your general fund expenditures. Was that the case?
Commissioner Mason, that is the case, yes.
There is in your statistical section in the back, you have a table that shows your excise tax and you kind of goes forward. Is that required by anything, or is that just something that, or is there someone that that information is specifically for?
Commissioner Mason, I believe that is a required statistical table for the ACFR, but I believe it's also, the reason why it's required is it's also heavily relied upon in the bond community to look for debt coverage and ratios, coverage ratios, and making sure that we are in compliance with our debt covenants.
Okay. You have another table that also shows pledged revenues. I think it's on page, I guess, 144 of the CAFR, and it shows by year, I think your total revenue. And I guess my question is, between the table that we just mentioned and this one, and the note on note 8 about pledging revenue, it seems that we're talking about, it would seem to me that all these should be connected in some way, but yet there's different amounts. And so I was just wondering if you can kind of address that.
Certainly, Commissioner Mason. So the page on 144 is really specific to our water utility, if I'm not mistaken, versus some of the other tables really look at excise tax revenues. And so because we have debt issued both in our governmental funds and in our utility funds, our enterprise funds, specifically the water utility, there's a couple different tables that, again, kind of are meant to reflect our coverage ratios to ensure that the bondholders get repaid, that we're not running things a little bit too closely or tightly to where there would be any sort of risk to our bondholders that we could not repay our debt.
On that, isn't there a governmental section on that as well, on that table on 144? I guess my question is when you look at note 8, I think I brought this up last year, is that we're supposed to be pledging excise tax, but we seem to show total revenue or just a sales tax figure, and like in note 8, we even base it on gross revenue instead of, because you're not really pledging gross revenue, aren't you just pledging your excise tax? And is your excise tax, again, a combination of sales tax state? It goes back to that first table I mentioned. I guess that's the definition of excise tax. So to me, it looks like there's some, I don't say confusion, but maybe some clarity that we seem to be talking about different numbers and different terminology, I guess.
Yeah, Commissioner Mason. So excise tax is inclusive of sales tax and other tax and fee revenues that the town collects. So there is, when we're talking about pledged revenues, it is not simply pledging the sales taxes of the town. There are some additional revenue sources that are included in that excise tax amount, and I think that's reflected in some of those statistical tables at the back of the report.
So back to note 8, where it talks about pledged revenues, should that be your
excise tax amount that you're paying instead of gross revenues or instead of just simply sales tax?
Yeah, Commissioner Mason, sales tax is certainly the bulk of those excise tax revenues. That is the majority of what is included in excise taxes. In terms of gross, the term gross just means the total. So there's no netting that's happening there. We're looking at the summation of everything that is available that's included or available to be pledged from the town's perspective, which again includes some of those fee revenues as well. But by and large, most of it is sales tax.
Okay. Also different now, on note three, we had this last year as well. Was this for the grant fund again? Exceeding capacity?
Commissioner Mason, members of the commission, this would not be with respect to the grant fund, since the grant fund wasn't really established until this current fiscal year. It would be in relation to maybe some of the other funds that the town had where we maybe exceeded budget capacity, what was budgeted in those funds. But again, not necessarily a legal, because as our auditor said this evening, that the legal standpoint in terms of whether we are in compliance with Arizona revised statute is looking at the total expenditures and whether we're underneath our either our home rule amount or I guess in this case it would be our home rule amount, since we're not subject to the other amount yet. So yeah, I think that note is just meant to alert the reader that in case they see that in a particular fund that we've exceeded, say in capital assets, we're capital outlay, we've seen we've exceeded maybe what our budget authority was or budget amount was in that particular fund, that we're not necessarily violating Arizona law by exceeding our capacity in capital outlay in a particular fund. It's looking at the total overall expenditure limitation, and if we're under that total expenditure limitation, then we're still in compliance with Arizona law.
So I think, are we on home rule for one more fiscal year?
Yes. I believe we've got one more year, and then we'll be subject to the permanent base adjustment.
Then just one other minor question. On your fixed assets, it said you had a big increase in land. What was that?
Commissioner Mason, that was the adjustment that was, there's a couple adjustments that were made. One was a current year donation from the Rooney family that we captured this last fiscal year. And then that actually got us down the rabbit trail of looking at other types of land donations, which that was the land donation that caused the prior period adjustment that our auditor referred to. We actually brought that issue to our auditors. There was an issue where we had a change in CFOs at that period of time, and that somehow just fell through the cracks. We weren't the interim CFO at that time. He had been on the job literally a month or two, and the council approved it. And with the transition, we just failed to adequately capture that, and so we had to disclose that in our notes as well as the prior period adjustment.
Okay, fine. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Dave, the bond for the parks and recs that's under discussion. I noted that there was some discussion that the sales tax, half of 1%, may be used for funding or reimbursing, paying interest and principal. How does that relate to the other pledging that's been done for that revenue stream?
Commissioner, that's actually a really good question. So the Parks and Rec bonds actually are first, the first pledge is our total excise taxes, you know, for the town with respect to our general fund. And then it's got a secondary pledge with it that is that half cent sales tax. So the way that it works is all of our general bonds that have been issued, again, bonds that have not that are not directly related to our enterprise fund, our water fund, but they're more for the general operations of the town. Those carry the pledge of our general excise taxes, which again is our sales taxes plus plus some fees. To keep our AA plus rating to on this issuance, to obtain the greatest or the strongest pledging for our bondholders, which is certainly something that they're looking for. They're looking for a return on their investment, and don't want their investment to be exposed to risk. We pledged the total excise, and it's a pledge that is in concert with all of our other general government bond issuances. We pledged our excise taxes for the town, and then also pledged this additional half cent, which our other general government obligations and bonds don't have that half cent pledge to them, because that half cent pledge was restricted to the community center and its improvements, and you know, and then of course the council made the change recently. 5 or 6 months ago, towards the end of last year, they made the change to kind of broaden that out to other types of parks and rec utilization. So that hopefully that answers your question. It actually has a couple different pledged revenue streams attached to it, which our other general government issuances don't, which then allows us to utilize that half cent as kind of that first repayment source, because that's more of an internal mechanism, you know, and then, you know, if we need to, we could tap into it, but there really shouldn't be any need to tap into our other excise tax revenues for the repayment of those bonds.
So basically then we're not double counting, we're just using that additional source of revenue that hadn't been used previously to secure debt.
That is correct.
I had a couple questions there. This one's a little bit random. In the very beginning of the CAFR, which thank you very much for all of your hard work. I know how much work goes into doing all this stuff, but the demographics of the town with 47,000 people. My question is, we're getting close to hitting the 50,000 person level, and are there any either government or business advantages / changes to hitting that number?
Commissioner, I think, Vice Chair, I should say, I think there, I'm not aware of any that would impact the ACFR. However, there are some potential, there could be some potential issues with respect to federal funding in the future. I know that 50,000 population number was looked at with the ARPA monies that the town received, and because we were under 50,000, we were placed in a different bucket than the larger cities and towns that were above that 50,000 population threshold. So, and then that caused, if you're above that threshold, that caused some differences in terms of reporting and timing of reports that were due to the federal government. So, I guess the short answer is no, but there could be ramifications in the future. but that would be subject to federal funds and awards that may be, again, benchmark that 50,000 population number.
How about in terms of businesses potentially coming into the town? Anything like that?
Vice Chair, I'm not aware of any. I think that's maybe a question that's better answered by our Community and Economic Development Director. He's kind of closer to that area than I would be in terms of potential employers or businesses coming into the town and looking at that 50,000 population figure as a trigger point for them to enter the town.
Next question I had was about annexing Westward Look. I'm just curious, how does that impact the financial statements? What should we expect? Maybe this isn't allowed, I don't know, but just what should we expect to change? We're going to have some capital. Do we have debt with them? Is that in there?
Vice Chair, we will not have any debt with respect to that annexation. I think what you can expect to see is there are some capital expenditures where we've got agreements with the Westward Look that we will have to fulfill. But then also in terms of the bed tax revenues and maybe some other sales tax revenue streams, there should be some slight, I'll say it won't be necessarily slight with bed taxes, but with the other revenue streams, it'll be slight. But with bed taxes, it'll be a pretty significant addition.
And then my last question was full assessed valuation, full cash assessed valuation. I don't know why I haven't heard that term before, because it probably has been in there for the past couple of CAFRs, but it's $813 million, and I wanted to know, what does that include? You look at the capital, and I'm adding numbers, can't get to that number, so it's probably some magic formula you have.
Yeah, Vice Chair, that actually is based upon property tax assessments, and so when you were talking about full cash assessed valuation, that is meant to signify or come close to full market value for the properties in the town. Versus a secondary assessed valuation, which would be reduced and limited by Arizona law and statute. So that really is meant to signify or come close to approximating full cash, the full assessed value, full cash value for the town.
Thank you. Any other questions, Commissioner Beasley? No? Okay, thank you very much. And I guess we'll move on to item three. So if Allison could read item three for us, please.
Agenda item three, presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2021-2022 financial update through November 2021.
Good evening, commission members. I'm happy to be presenting our monthly financials to you this evening. I will say at the outset that things continue to look very positive. We have been able to adjust some of our year-end revenues up accordingly. So we'll go ahead and get started. First, the general fund. We'll go through the revenues. A local sales tax is one category that we've been able to adjust on these latest financials based on what we're seeing. So we've got about $10.5 million in actuals through November, which is close to 50% of the budget already. We went ahead and have bumped that year-end estimate up about $2.3 million, or 11% over budget. And we're really seeing some strong performance in all of our categories. You know, we were pretty conservative on our budget estimates with the unknowns there around COVID. But thankfully, we are seeing a lot of good growth across the board, really. Construction, retail is still going strong, remote collections as well. State share revenues, those are looking good also. They're trending on budget. We have actuals about $5.7 million through November, or just over 41% of the budget. Charges for services, we've talked about these. We're seeing some strong growth and improvement in our recreation revenues. So we've bumped that year-end estimate up. We're expecting about $2.5 million. by year end, or about 6% over budget for that category. Licenses and permits, we're watching closely. We've been watching our single-family residential activity kind of trickle the last few months. We budgeted 275 single-family residential permits. I believe we're at about 80. That's through December. So definitely some slowness, which we were anticipating. However, we do have some activity in the pipeline for commercial building activity, and so we have not quite revised that year-end estimate yet. We kind of want to wait and see, get some further details and figures on some of this commercial activity that we're expecting. Moving on to grant revenues, we've mentioned this one previously. We have an overage in that category expected. That's due to the additional ARPA funds that we're going to be receiving. And then our all other, we are at about close to $750,000 in actuals through November, or about 39.5% of the budget. And expecting just a slight overage there, coming in just under $2 million. That slight overage is due to RTA reimbursements that we're receiving for transit, seeing some positive trends there. Overall, we are at just under 40% of revenues with actuals of close to $18.7 million through November. In total, we are expecting to come in about $4.8 million or 10% over budget, and that is due to primarily the sales tax collections and then the additional ARPA funds. Moving on to the expenditures real quick. Personnel, we are at just over $11 million in actuals through November, or 36% of the budget. Those actuals are slightly below budget year-to-date. That's just due to the timing of the payrolls and when they hit in the fiscal year. Our operations and maintenance, we're at $14.1 million, or just over 64% of the budget through November. Again, keep in mind that we have already made the budgeted $10 million payment to PSPRS from reserves for that unfunded liability payment. Capital, moving along slowly, but that's going to be ramping up. We are at about 12% of budget spent through November. The bulk of that budget includes westward look improvements that we had just touched on, some IT needs, computers, and that sort of thing, and then some parks and recreation improvements at their facilities. So we'll start to see those ramp up. We are still expecting to be on budget at year end in that category. And then transfers out, we've mentioned this previously. We only have a principal payment due this fiscal year on the pension obligation bonds. Or I'm sorry, just an interest-only payment due on the pension obligation bonds, no principal. And so we are going to see some savings there of about $1.1 million for the transfers out to the debt service fund. In total, our general fund expenditures are at just under $28 million in actuals through November, or about 46% of budget. We are expecting to come in about $1.1 million under budget, or 2%, and that's mainly due to that transfer out for the bonds. Here's the chart for the general fund through November. We can see revenues of $18.7 million compared to last year of $23.1. That difference primarily is the CARES funding. As you recall, last fiscal year we had received that chunk of change. On the expenditure side, we have $28 million in actuals compared to $15.7 million last fiscal year. Again, that large swing is the $10 million payment to PSPRS. We did budget to use fund balance of about $14.2 million. Based on some of our positive trends in our revenues, as well as the savings and the transfers out, we are now looking at using fund balance of about $8.3 million. That would land us just over $24 million for an ending fund balance in the general fund. That would equate to about 45% of budgeted expenditures, and that would exceed Council's 25% policy by $10.7 million. Moving on to the highway fund. Signs looking positive there for the revenues, licenses, and permits. I believe we had touched on this last month. That's a small category, but it's trending well. Right now, we are still assuming budget in that category, but probably be bumping that up likely as we continue here. As State shared revenues, that's our highway user gas tax revenues. Those are looking very positive as well. We've collected about $1.6 million through November, which is about 44% of the budget. Right now, they are up about 5% year over year, and we collected about $3.7 million last fiscal year. So it's very likely that when we come back, probably with the December financials, we'll be adjusting this upwards. Things looking very positive there. And then the all other is just a very small category of miscellaneous revenues. We've got a little bit of an overage we're expecting due to some insurance recoveries. So in total, again, we're still assuming about on budget for the highway fund revenues. But as I mentioned, we are going to be bumping up HERF revenues pretty significantly, as well as licenses and permits. For the expenditures, not really any surprises there. Our personnel is trending about on budget. Actuals are about 38%, which seems low, but again, similar to the general fund, that depends on when the payrolls are hitting through November. Operations and maintenance, we are just under $200,000 spent in actuals, or about 30%. We are still expecting to land on budget in that category. Some of the larger line items just to note include things like road striping, field supplies, and the electricity and traffic signal maintenance costs. And then capital, we have spent about $600,000 through November. That's about 27% of the budget. That seems low, but it does depend on the timing of our payment preservation program, which is a big chunk in there. Really going to see that ramp up. I saw some fairly large expenditures that we've approved lately. So when we come back with those, that number will have bumped up pretty significantly. We are in total for the highway fund at about $1.2, $1.3 million in expenditures through November, or just under 31%. And we are not projecting any budget variances at this time. Here's the chart for the highway fund. We can see revenues up just a bit compared to last fiscal year, 1.6 versus 1.5. The expenditures are down year over year, 1.3 million compared to 1.7. Again, that's really going to depend on the budgeted capital in the fund and the timing of when those expenditures are hitting. As a reminder, we did budget to use fund balance of about 400,000, and that's going to land us at an ending fund balance of about 800,000 in the highway fund. Moving on to the community center fund. Revenue is looking very positive there. So as we mentioned last month, we did get some revised year-end estimates from our contractor. Those have not changed since last month. Those are static. So actuals on their side is about $1.5 million through November, or just on budget, 41.3%. We are expecting to end the year about 8.8% above budget, or $320,000. And all their revenue sources really are trending higher than expected. Strong performance in their member dues, food and beverage looks great, just across the board, really. Town operating revenues, we've mentioned these previously. Pretty conservative budget we had there, about $700,000. We are already over 68% of the budget in terms of revenue collections. So we are expecting to end the year pretty significantly over budget, $963,000. Which equates to about 38% or $265,000 over budget. And again, that is the strong recreation program revenue that we're seeing. Other revenues, the big chunk in there, obviously, is the half-cent sales tax, but we also have our HOA contributions and a couple of other smaller categories. The half-cent sales tax revenues, similar to patterns that we're seeing in the general fund, we are expecting to come in over budget in that category by about $330,000 or 11%. So in total, community center fund revenues, we are expecting to come in about $900,000 over budget, which is about 12%. That's due to the local sales tax, the recreation program revenues, and then strong performance by the contractor as well. On the expenditure side of the house, contracted, we are at actuals of about $1.92 million through November. That's about 41.6% of our budget. We are expecting to end the year a bit under budget, about $200,000, and that is due to some O&M savings primarily, as well as a bit of personnel costs forecasted by the contractor. Our town operating expenditures are trending on budget. We're at about 45% currently, which is to be expected with some of the camp programs that we do there during the summer. So oftentimes our personnel costs look a little high earlier in the fiscal year, but those are trending as expected. Capital outlay, we've got just a few kind of small things going on there. We've got actuals of just over $35,000, or 26.6% of budget, and we are expecting to land on budget for that category. And then our transfers out, we mentioned this last month. We are going to have an interest-only payment due on our parks and rec bonds this fiscal year. Our CFO and I feel pretty comfortable that the Municipal Debt Service Fund has a little bit of excess fund balance. We think we're going to be able to cover that interest-only payment in that fund and not need to do a transfer out for the Community Center Fund. So that is the variance there that you see of $1.7 million. In total, we've spent about $2.6 million in expenditures in the Community Center Fund. That's about 34% of our budget. We are expecting to have a total savings of about $1.9 million. And so obviously the bulk of that is the transfer out, but then also some of the contracted operating expenditure savings as well. Last slide, the chart for the Community Center Fund. You can see revenues of $3.3 million compared to last fiscal year of $2.5 million. Just improvement in every category, really, primarily our local sales tax collections, as well as our town operating revenues, but the contracted revenues are up as well. So, and then expenditures, $2.6 million compared to $2.4 million of last fiscal year. That's to be expected, really, as I believe the facility was closed for a little bit last year during this time frame. So, as a reminder, we did budget to use fund balance of about $400,000. Because of the outperformance in the revenues that we're seeing, the savings on the expenditure side, we are actually estimating that we're going to add to fund balance of about $2.4 million, and that would land us at an ending fund balance of about $5.1 million in the Community Center Fund. That concludes my presentation, and we'll take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gomez. Does anybody have any questions? Go ahead.
Thank you, Wendy, for getting us this presentation in advance. That's very helpful to us.
You're welcome.
I have two questions. What do you attribute the slowdown in the building permits as far as residential housing is concerned?
Thank you, Commissioner Beasley. Yeah, we've talked to our permitting division a little bit about that. Some of it is, you know, the pipeline constraints with the supplies and availability. Also, some of that was expected. You know, interest rates not as favorable as they were last fiscal year, and then some of that abnormal pandemic activity that we were seeing last year. As you may recall, we issued almost 500 single-family residential permits last year, which is very unusual. And so we expected some of that slowdown to take place. We do have some developments that have just been taking a little bit longer to come online, but those are close to coming to permit, and so we should see a bit of a bump in those numbers here as we move along.
Now, you said there was about 175... so far?
I think it's less than that. I think it's about 80. Let me look at my numbers here. Uh, 79 through December that we've issued, yes.
Yeah, that really is a dramatic drop.
It is. You know, one interesting thing sometimes that I see with our revenues is when we have some of these reduced numbers, we actually see activity-wise more of like custom homes, kind of high-end, and less of the cookie-cutter developments, which actually for us results in more revenues from increased valuations. So when I look at where we are in terms of actual dollars, it's really not that bad. It's not that far off from budget. We are pretty conservative on the revenue per permit that we budget. So I am very hopeful. Actually, we could potentially come in over budget in this category overall, just because of the commercial activity that we're expecting. So should more than offset the residential activity.
My second question involves capital expenditure program for the community center activity. What is the current status of getting bids, et cetera, for the irrigation systems?
That is a good question, Commissioner Beasley. I believe we have awarded the contract now to a contractor. I haven't been following that project very closely, but we are moving ahead with that. I think construction is going to be starting in May, if I'm not mistaken.
What ended up being the final bids for those things? I know it went dramatically higher the last time I saw it.
Yeah, Commissioner Beasley, the bids for both courses came in at about $8 million, mm-hmm. I believe. And I'll jump in and just add that issue specifically, because bids came in so much higher, was brought back to council. I want to say in November, either October or November, we brought that issue specifically to council, asking for direction, whether to proceed or not. And so, and the council direction was, despite the increase, that they desired to proceed. So we did end up awarding that bid, as Ms. Gomez mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Commissioner Beasley? Mm-hmm. I had a question about the local sales tax increase. And my question is, do you think we're kind of back to like a, quote, new normal, or is this higher than what we would expect for normal times because we're buying so much more? What's kind of your opinion on that? Are we at a level out point?
Sure. Thank you, Vice Chair Silverson. You know, it's kind of funny. Our local sales tax, you know, our community in general is kind of sheltered, if you will, a little bit. We don't see economic shocks to the extent that other municipalities may. You know, fortunately, we've got a very highly educated population. It's a lot of white-collar professions. And so we didn't really see, aside from hotel and restaurant impacts to tax collections, we didn't really see a whole lot of hit from COVID. And so what I'm seeing right now looks a little more traditional. Some of the growth that we're seeing in retail, for example, remote collections, some of that may be tied to inflation, is my guess a little bit. That's obviously impacting it. But even through, you know, the Great Recession, for example, through COVID, our retail sales tax continued to grow at least 4-5% every year. And it continues to do that. Even with the, you know, reduced activity in the residential, we still have construction dollars coming in pretty regularly. And so that category is looking good as well. Things look, you know, pretty standard overall to me. I'm not really seeing anything real surprising. You know, as I mentioned, I think there is that inflation piece to think about. But other than that, the growth seems pretty standard to me.
Thank you. We're all very fortunate.
We are.
Questions, Commissioner Mason?
Just a couple. On the permits, are we getting to the point, or do you see that we're maxing out our ability? I mean, do we still have enough land within the city to continue, or are we starting to get built out?
That's a good question, Commissioner Mason. Obviously, you know, with the high activity that we saw last fiscal year, you know, that does push us a little bit closer. We know that's on our horizon. the build out, and we are starting to plan for that situation. It has we're approaching it a much slower pace than what we had expected projected a few years back. But again, you know, the quicker this kind of activity comes online, like the unusually high activity we saw last fiscal year, is going to continue to push us towards that. And so, that there's options to consider for the future in terms of addressing that for sure.
Hopefully a few more years. on the bond proceeds for the Parks and Rec, how much do you think that we'll spend this fiscal year?
Oh gosh, Commissioner Mason, I don't know that I have my finger on a good estimate for that. I know we are just starting to get underway with some of that, and with current constraints in the labor market and supplies, I don't see us really spending a whole lot this fiscal year. I would guess that it's probably going to fall more into next fiscal year in terms of when we really get the heavy hitting expenditures and costs.
Okay, thanks. Now, also on the HOA payments we're receiving, is there a time limit on us continuing to receive that?
Commissioner Mason, I'm trying to remember the contracts and the agreements, and I don't recall off the top of my head. I'd have to get back to you on that. I would hate to misstate something. I know it was multiple years. I just do not recall. But I will make a note of that and get back to you on that.
Okay, that's fine. And then for the annexation of Westward Look, will we start seeing, I guess, much of an increase in state shared revenues? Does it start immediately, or is there a year wait or something for start receiving state shared revenue because of the population increase? I'm sure it's probably not very much.
Commissioner Mason, I think that was a commercial-only annexation. I don't think there was any residential factored into that, so I don't know that that's going to have any impact on our state shared revenues. But we are already seeing bed tax from them, so that's good.
Okay, well, thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay, go ahead, Commissioner Beasley.
One last question. Given the state of inflation, what kind of pressures are we seeing, and what's likely to happen in the next budget process as far as compensation is concerned?
I'm sorry, as far as compensation is concerned?
Salaries.
Oh.
Personnel salaries.
Oh, I'm sure, Commissioner Beasley. I can try to address that, and Dave can chime in if he'd like to. We are currently getting underway with a market study. A salary market study that we're going to be doing townwide. Our human resources department is leading that. That will be coming in, probably looking at completion around the summer timeframe. And so during the budget process, we will likely be feeding some capacity into next fiscal year's budget to address some of those areas that come out of the results of the study.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Gomez.
You're welcome.
Excellent as usual. We already heard from Mayor Winfield. He already provided his comments, so we'll go on to future agenda items. Does any member of the commission have any future agenda items they'd like to be discussed? Go ahead.
Dave, I know the PSPRS data is out. I have looked at it. It could be downloaded from the website. What is the contemplated presentation on that situation?
Thank you, Commissioner Beasley, members of the commission. I'd like to, I've kind of been thinking a couple different directions with this. I wouldn't mind actually bringing in one of the PSPRS representatives to present to the commission. Maybe Clark Partridge. I know he presented last year to the town council.
He's very knowledgeable and does a great job. But if he's not available, I'd just like to kind of bring an overall update of the status of the plan, the impact that the earnings on the plan had moving forward, what that kind of looks like. You know, as the commission's well aware, as town council's well aware, we issued $17.6 million in pension obligation bonds, plus we made a $10 million payment out of reserves. So what is that $27.6 million? What does that look like? What does that project or portend to for from a funding status perspective? You know, I know that, you know, because that payment was made this current fiscal year, it's not going to be included in the actuarials that you see or our funding status for the town. So I just kind of like to rinse through that a little bit and maybe bring an update. Again, as we start talking about updating the pension funding policy for next fiscal year, what does that look like? What's kind of our baseline? What can we expect to see? And then, you know, if we are overfunded, I know we've had some of these discussions in the past, but if we're over 100% funded, at what level past 100% funding do we look at maybe dialing back the contributions? Because as the commission is well aware, what our current policy says is that we're maintaining that 42 or whatever percent employer contribution rate. We're not dialing that back. So at what point do we maybe take a look at dialing that back? And what's acceptable from the commission's perspective and making a recommendation to town council?
Thank you, Dave. Is there any possibility, for instance, of having a joint study session with town council for this type of a presentation?
Commissioner Beasley, members of the commission, I think there probably is the potential for that, but I'm probably not the right one to answer that question.
I guess since our mayor is here, that might be a recommendation that I would make. Because, you know, it's certainly important. There was some very important action taken last fiscal year, and in terms of funding this thing and in terms of updating all kinds of stuff. And I think having a presentation done by those people, I think would be a reinforcing action, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so do we want to make a recommendation that we have a presentation? Request a presentation?
Vice Chair, members of the Commission, I was planning on making a presentation either myself or, again, bringing in, or maybe a joint presentation or bringing in a representative from PSPRS at the next Budget Finance Commission meeting to kind of, again, establish that baseline to propel us forward with our discussions and updating the pension funding policy. Beyond that, that's up to the Commission and certainly the Town Council to have that discussion.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Anything else?
Are we at the point that we could get an update on the Vistoso situation with the purchase of the land and who owns what and what we're going to do with it?
Commissioner Mason, members of the commission, that issue is still ongoing. It's not resolved yet, and that's the best update that I can provide right now. At whatever point that it becomes resolved, then maybe we can bring some additional information at that point in time.
Okay, thank you. If there are no more future agenda items, I guess it's time to adjourn. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Noted. This meeting is ending at 5:08 p.m. Thank you, and we will see you in February.